cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Okay, so we've been on Isaiah chapter 60 for like about, this should be like the second week now, or the third Sunday now, right? Pastor started 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ose, Wednesday Bible study took us through some things, and I believe that the prayer meeting also was geared towards that aspect. Then on Sunday, Pastor Kenny took us further. Pastor Omi, thank you for all those wonderful messages. So today we are still continuing. I want to look at another aspect of Isaiah 60, verses 1-3. We'll read this normal way, then I will give us another, I will a bit rearrange it. Please pardon me. Can we read together like Pastor Kenny did last week? I'm just copying the templates. Pastor Binga, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Omi, they've done templates. So for me, it's just to reproduce it. So I'm permitted, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. 1, 2, go. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Okay, so the way I want us to read it now is we'll read verse 2 first. We'll go to verse 1. We'll now do verse 3. 2, 1, 3. Is that okay? Okay, so give us verse 2. 1, 2, go. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of the rising. Hallelujah. I don't know if it made sense to anybody the way we read it that second time. Because, you know, while I was preparing, I was like, David, this is not written anywhere. Are you sure? God, please just permit me. Like, I just saw something, so I felt like, okay, can we just, like a puzzle? Let's just tweak it a bit and see. So my emphasis today is going to be, of course, on that verse 2. We'll dwell on verse 3. Verse 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. You see, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light is come. If somebody says, stand up to you, it means you are in a position, you are sitting. Somebody says, stand up to you. It means you are sitting. You are in a relaxation mode. So, verse 1 started by saying, arise, shine. But you see, if I just read it that way, arise, shine, without putting some attitude into it, we won't understand the perspective of God. God wasn't just saying, arise, shine. God was, arise, shine. You know the way teachers do it? Stand up! Like, you Jacob, you come alive. Like, or maybe you are... Can you remember those times back in secondary school, primary school, while you are waiting for the teacher to come and all of that, and you know the way we do inside classroom now, like, now we there around. Like, you just relax, and the teacher comes. The teacher walks in quietly, and the teacher is just looking at you like, and you are totally unaware that every other person is calm, cool, already collected. But you are still basking in the euphoria that Now we will be there around. And the teacher comes in and observes you for a while and says, stand up! Keep up! Can we remember? Can you remember that? Hallelujah. So I believe that when God was speaking, when God declared that word, the Lord put some attitude into it. That the Israelite, and let me say this before I continue. You see, this is a future, this is a prophecy that will still happen in the future. This Isaiah 60 is about the second coming of Christ. Let's lay that foundation. Let's understand that. But you see, there are principles we can get from here that we can apply to our lives. Hallelujah. The Lord, so let's back up. We'll do a long read today. Today in our Bible study, we'll read Bible. Say amen. Amen. Isaiah 59. It's just for us to understand the background to which why the Lord said, arise, shine, your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. And for the Lord to now come in verse 2 to say, behold. That behold, now, that's the English language of them. In this present time, we'll say, listen. Hear this. Isaiah 59, we'll do a long to verse 10 or 11. Let's start together. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shutting, that he cannot save, neither is he heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perverseness. None call for justice, nor any pleas for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Pause. What's cockatrice egg? No. Sir? Yes. Cobra. You see, I had to check it. This is when a cock lays egg and the cobra goes to, what's that? No, not to swallow. Brood over it, and the outcome of that event, a cob with he came out with an animal with a cobra's head, meanwhile with two legs. Let's continue. I should explain it again. A cock, what's another word for fowl? Abi, chicken lays egg, and a cobra. Or a snake, or a serpent. Actually, the definition I saw said a serpent. Goes to brood. You know, like the way they sit and sit on egg for how many days? 21, there about the. So after that whole sitting on it, it hatches. It gives birth to an animal with a serpent's head, with the legs of a chicken, Abby. What did you call it? Ma? A dragon. Gives birth to a dragon. Okay, so let me say it this way. Dragon. You see those animals with long tail and two legs and long head. But that's not our focus for today. That's just he that eats of their eggs does what? Dies. Let's go together. And that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. A viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, please hold on. I want us to read this verse 9 and 10 because I will dwell on that a bit. Want to go? Therefore, is judgment far from us, neither overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Verse 10. We grow for the world. And we grow up as if we had no heights. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We grope for the sin. We grope for walls. Like, you remember those days when NEPA takes, when they took light and all of a sudden, you're just, eh? He said, we grope for wall like the blind, like the blind. A metaphor. Can you guess the people speaking here? Can you guess those people? Can you guess? The people, I mean, from verse 1 to this present place, the Israelites. He said, we grope for the world like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes, no revelation, no divine understanding of divine things. You know, I said the other time that for God to say, arise, shine, it meant that somebody was in a relaxed state. It meant that somebody was not at the point of call, the point of duty. This tells us a posture somehow of a believer. It tells us the state of a believer. So we grope for the world like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes, no revelation. We stumble at noonday, like broad daylight like this, you see they fall. Let me use that word. Like, you know the way parents say, Kilongbe Eshubugan, wait till they even make you fall self. Like, see everywhere. Like, so why are you still falling down? A posture, a state, a frame of mind, a perspective. Like, this person is in church. As in the night, we are in desolate places as dead men. Living, oh. You know, I think metaphor taught us that there are two words you can use to do comparison, right? Number one, like and has. So they liken themselves again. Here it says, as dead men. Let me just die. Like, what am I even doing here? I have no use for God. In church, no revelation, blind, you know. And so you see the why I said let's tweak it. Let's start from verse 2. For behold, verse 2, Isaiah 60, verse 2. Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness the people. What does it mean to be covered in darkness? Number one, and I need you to write these things down. To be in darkness means to not know God. To be in darkness means what? To not know God. And the things of God. To be in darkness means to not know God and the things, and to not know the things of God. It means to be ignorant of divine things. Number two. It means to be ignorant of divine things. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manager, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand or do not consider. The ox knows his master, and the ass his master's crib or his master's manager. But Israel does not know or do not know. My people do not consider. Another translation says, my people do not understand. So to be in darkness is to lack understanding. So when God is saying, arise, shine, you can see the perspective, the angle to which God was coming from. That these people lack no understanding. Now they are supposed to be standing, but they are reclined, sitting. And so God said, arise, shine. Your light is come. I took permission from Pastor Omi this morning to share a testimony she gave some time ago. And she clarified, she brought back, refreshed, she refreshed my memory this morning. She said 2008, right? 2008, ma'am. She got 2 job offers. I want to explain this. How many definitions have I given us now? 3, right? To not know God or the things of God. That's number 1. Number 2, to be ignorant of divine things. Number 3, to lack understanding. So she said she got 2 job offers, one with First Bank, the other with Zenith. And of course, let me not say of course. Zenith at that time, the role of, I don't know, the pay when compared to the second one was much more bigger than that of First Bank. And this one she was like, you can only imagine it, like the kind of states she was at that time. So she was like, First Bank, this amount. But Zenith Bank, like, you know the way they say it. I don't want to use that language. Who know like, and I didn't say it, you said it. So she was in between, like, okay, God, which one should I? And the Lord told her, go for, you can guess now. You can guess. The Lord told her to do what? To go with First Bank. And she went. Hallelujah. Celebrate you, man. Amen. So she went. I can't remember now. Few months down the line. Few months. Or, Abby? 2 months down the line into that offer. Zenith did the payment restructuring, because they couldn't keep up with that amount. And so they reduced the salary, the pay. Concurrently, First Bank did an upward review and the salary. Hallelujah. So you can understand the perspective to why I said to be ignorant of divine things. The natural you wants to interpret by the circumstances around you. You see, and Bible says the arm of flesh will not what? It won't prevail. We don't see by this natural eyes. Hallelujah. So to understand. And to be in darkness means to not understand or to not have knowledge of divine things. God, what's your position on this matter? You know, sometimes we are so interested in the things happening now, and we are not asking the Lord, what will change in the next 5 months? What will change in the next 6 months? In the next 2 months? In fact, for her, it was just 2 months. So you just imagine. Hallelujah. So, the kind of people God was speaking to in this place were people who had no knowledge, who were in darkness. And you see, Isaiah 59 from verse 1 to the 10th verse we read, they themselves did what? They gave testimony of their own situation. Say, we grope in darkness. So when the Lord says, arise, the Lord actually must be speaking from a perspective. You see, I stand here. I said, everyone's position on a matter can come when believers joke. Hallelujah. Everyone's position can do what? Can come when believers joke. I remember Sister Faith. I think you were the one. The first day you came to church, she was there about leaving the entrance. I mean, exiting the auditorium. And I'm like, you're welcome. My name is David Adeyemi. How are you doing? You know, we interacted and all of that. And she said, I said, will you be in church next week? And she said, no. Like, she'll be going back. I believe that you just came in to, you thought you were going to stay for that 1 week or 2 weeks or thereabout. You know, and I said to her jokingly, do you still remember that joke? I said to her jokingly, I said, that was how me myself, I entered this Lagos. I just thought I was coming to write a professional exam. And here I enter one chance, 5 years down the line now. You remember that joke? And you know, when she shared that testimony last week, I understood, and the Lord brought it back to my memory, that even believers' jokes can be heaven's position. Mark the word. I didn't say an unbeliever. I said believers' jokes. Or even examples. God can use the example we are giving now to be instructing somebody. Hallelujah. Let's move further. Hallelujah. Hosea 4, chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I don't want to dwell too much. In case you were not in service last week and you didn't stream online, I beg you, listen again. And in case you were even in church last week Sunday, we still have it on MixLR. Go and listen. But so can it dwell? He did justice to that. Hallelujah. Wisdom. Wisdom. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. These people were actually in destruction. You know, at some point they said desolate. Can we remember? They said we are desolate. Desolate, destruction is another word for desolate. Hallelujah. You see, and the ignorance God is talking in this place, believers fall into three pitfalls due to this lack of ignorance. One, when we are ignorant or we're in darkness, number one, you can fall into a sin. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can fall into what? Into sin. Number two, you can fall into error. Due to lack of ignorance or understanding of divine things, you can fall into number one, what? Number two? Number three, falsehood. You've heard this as examples a lot of times. Money is the root of all evil. Is that what scripture says? What does scripture say? The love of money. The love of money. Bible didn't say money is the root. Because you know some people tell you, Bible says the love. Where is your heart? Hallelujah. Where is your what? Where is your heart? Number, how many definitions have I given us for people living in darkness? Three, right? Number four, to live in darkness means to do shameful deeds or works of darkness. There's going to be another long read, and you'll see it in New Testament. Somebody is saying about that was then, that dispensation. Okay, we'll see this dispensation now. To live in darkness means to do shameful deeds or shameful works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. We'll read together. I love when we read together. Ephesians 4, can we read 1, 2, go? Wherefore, putting, lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication, can we be faster? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bible didn't say malice. It says all malice. Then, verse 5, is that the last verse? Okay, continue. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven. Is that the last? Give me verse 5, chapter 5, we'll continue. Yes, can we go? Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Hold on. You see, the work of the believer is not just to walk in faith. Hallelujah. The work of the believer. Bible is not just saying, hey, it's a work of faith. It's a work of faith. It is also the work of love. As Christ has loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, please pay attention to these things. Who was Paul speaking to in this place? He was speaking to believers. A state, a posture, a frame of mind, a mindset. For this you know, can we continue? That no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were once, you were sometimes, what was the first definition we gave? To not know God. This was what Paul came back to refer to this. For you were once darkness. So for somebody to be in darkness means that you do not know God. Okay, so let's continue. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Darkness is coming again. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, a posture. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Hold on. Let's add some drama to this. Let's add some drama. No. Verse 14. I want you to read slowly. Amen. Yes. 1, 2, go. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Hallelujah. Paul summarized, he elaborated on Isaiah 59 to 60, verse 3, where we are stopping. If you continue verse 1 and all of that, we'll understand this better. We'll understand more, even more. So before we say, these are believers, Paul was talking about believers. And let me give some examples. You see, back in Abuja, I remember one day I ran errand for my office to buy some office supplies. So, I went, it's not like the way it is now. I'm talking of six, seven years ago. I ran errand for my office and I got to this stationery office. I want to buy paper, I want to buy this, I want to buy that and all. And after we're done, the lady calculated the money. Standard. Eh? Standard, wrote, everything out. And the lady asked me a question. How much should I write? Has it happened to you before? Eh? Yeah. Eh? It has happened to Pastor Kenny, yes. You see, when we continue in that kind of mindsets, and you know the mindset then, if I had 500 naira, this would cater for my lunch. You cannot arise from that darkness. You can't. He said the glory of the Lord is what? It's come upon you. We cannot see the glory can't be seen. I remember very well. See the same office, no office car. But you see, run errands, you go and pick up some documents from some federal government agencies, you submit and all of that. So you go cars and all of that. And so it's what you come, when you come back to the office, it's what you tell the office that the office will pay you, will reimburse you. Hallelujah. So scripture says, wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest. From the dead. Arise from the dead. The works of the flesh, all those things that Paul highlighted. For us to manifest this glory, for us to live in this light, we must do away with these things. You know why? Let's go to Isaiah 60 verse 3. Isaiah 60 verse 3. This is why, one of the reasons why we must arise. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy So imagine that you are doing the same thing. Like now we. You know the categorization now. Now we. The day you stand to say Jesus loves you, Oga Pakwell. And you know Jesus said the guy of this world has come and he has found nothing in me. Says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness. I want to explain this brightness. You remember when Moses on Mount Sinai was begging God? Can we remember that story very well? He was begging God. I want to just compress it. He was begging God, let me see your glory. Let me see your glory. And the Lord told him what? No man can see this and live. And the Lord said, I will pass, but you see my back. Moses only saw the back. And after the whole transaction, he went back to the camp of the people and the people could not even behold Moses. So I was asking myself, what if this guy had seen the Shekinah, the full regalia of God's glory? He only saw the back of God. And Bible says, while he conversed with the people, there was a veil. The people could not look like, no. That was a dimension of glory. When scripture says, and kings, Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Like somebody comes near you and it's difficult for the person to lie. There's something that just, the person comes and the person, there's a, the light in you repels that darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, when we can't repel that darkness if we are still in that position. And so you understand why God was speaking through Paul, says, arise, you who sleep. Bible says, for the earnest expectation of creation await the groan. What? Help me. For the manifestation of sons. For the manifestation of sons. See, if you just take one part of the puzzle, you won't understand the whole thing. You understand why God is saying, arise, shine. I remember those days when I was learning English. Arishi. Arishi ati. Help me now, Yoruba, my Yoruba people. Arishi ati shine. Arise and shine. You won't understand the... Eh? Pastor Kenny, hallelujah. You understand where God was coming from. See, there are kingdoms to contend for. There are what? There are kingdoms to contend for. I wrote this down somewhere. Judges chapter 5 and verse 6. Judges 5:6. Can we read together? In the days of Shamgar, the son of Hanath, in the days of Jehiel, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. Until hi, David, that they hear me, arose. That I arose, what? A mother in Israel. That's the definition of a son. The earnest, what? Romans 8:19. Earnest expectation of the creature. Uh-huh. They are waiting for the manifestation of sons until high. Deborah arose. Or Deborah. Abby? Are we okay with Deborah? Yes. Uh-huh. Nah, British, Abby, US, I don't know. Now then they call Deborah. Deborah. Debo. Until high Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. People couldn't walk freely again. You see, the thing is that people will do anyhow in our offices, in our workplaces. If we don't awake out of righteous, out of the sleep, what happens? People will do anyhow. People will do anyhow. People will do anyhow. But until you see that, hey, this is the time. Bible says, arise, shine. What? For your light has come. Let me say this way. Pastor Wenga said, David, if you are thinking that the Lord will raise another person to do this job, you do not yet understand what the Lord requires of you. Do you understand that? That the Lord will send another person into your office to say, you see, if the invoice says it is 10 naira, it is 10 naira. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? If we are thinking, if I'm thinking that the Lord will bring somebody and they will not do policy, they will not say, okay, you know, and let me tell you this. My organization then came with a policy that if you go out, you go with a requisition form. If you wait for a requisition form, there's no point for you to shine anymore now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think my time is almost up. I've given us 4 points, right? Number five points. The fifth point. To live in darkness also means you want nothing to do with light. What did I say? Can we echo it together? One, two, go. To live in darkness also means you want nothing to do with light. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. They were cold towards spiritual things. They were what? Cold towards spiritual things. Have you seen some believers when you see, let's pray, let's be praying and like, Michelle, I shouldn't be now. What we come here do, I beg. Have you heard those testimonies? Or even in the, you know, sometimes when you travel by bus and somebody says, let's pray, there's somehow like, they've come again. Have you been in that state of mind? Have you been in that state of mind? He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. So you rather prefer that the driver will play Tungba from Lagos to wherever you go. You won't complain. But with the moment a believer in the bus says, let's pray, there's a like. Do you notice that a lot of people, we don't complain when those drivers, they play those music. Do you know? Eh? Apart from that, it keeps the driver away. Even the people inside, we don't really. In fact, some of them now, they have one small TV for people. So they keep them entertained. We don't. Eh? Accurate to Jaws. Hallelujah. It says to live in darkness means also that we want nothing to do with light. We do not want, you don't even want to introduce your name as David. So that they won't be thinking like, David, okay, he's a Christian. I won't be able to do this deal. Like, I won't be able to say this, that, if I introduce it. So you just say Mayowa. Neutral ground. Eh? You just mention your tribal name that has nothing to do with Jehovah or something. Oluwa. You won't even mention Oluwa or something. Or Jesu, like Jesu Mayowa or Jesu Toby or something. I'm Toby. You just don't want people to know that you are believers. It says, it's a state. Hallelujah. Verse 1, I'll go back to verse 1 and I'll round up. Let me say this today. I have more things to say like the way Pastor says it. But time is a constraint. So let me use that today. Hallelujah. Verse 1, Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What this means is that we should be people without the darkness of sin. That's number one. Still a continuation of number one. We are in the light, not in the darkness. So we shouldn't live as children of darkness. Number two, we are in the light. So we should live as children of light. Our life should be full of light. And the definition of this light I give here says goodness, righteousness, and truth. You remember that in Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5 where we read? Number three, the light of Jesus should be obvious in us. People should not be able to, should be able to look at us and see the light and radiance of Christ within us. Isaiah 60 verse 3 says, nations will come to your light as king and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I close with this story of D.L. Moody. A story D.L. Moody said he was in a great city, and in that city there was a blind man. And that blind man had a lantern. Can you imagine? Like a blind man. What's the essence of the lantern? Right? So somebody approached him like, you're already blind now. You can't even see. Even the light of this lantern can do nothing. You cannot help your matter. The man said, I have this lantern here so that people will not run over me. Lights. So what was the point? We are not blind. Believers are not blind, right? But what it's telling us is that the light in us should be able to help another person to find his path. Since your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. The word of God. Somebody should be able to find direction. Oh, somebody, you receive that text message after giving somebody a ride, and the person tells you, like, ah, thank God I, you know, you gave me that ride, but beyond that, you touched something in me. Like, the deep in you called to the deep in, beckoned to the shallowness in me. Come! Arise! Time is against me. I'm the timer, so I'm timing myself. Let's be on our feet.